It is June the 30th, 2011. I'm Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of Gerwick.net, and I'm welcoming today to the website someone you may have not seen in a while unless you've been checking out my website. We've been passing along information about her band. She's a former TNA personality, a backstage interviewer, and manager, and even got a chance to get in the ring, Goldilocks. How you doing today, Goldilocks?
Well, that was such a lovely introduction. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on your show, my dear, and interviewing. I appreciate it.
Oh, our pleasure. And I guess up front, tell us what's going on in your wonderful career and your outstanding musical career, because we just saw the YouTube, the music video for the wedding song that you passed along. So what is going on with Goldilocks these days?
Well, I thought I was supposed to talk about wrestling first. If you want, I can touch on that briefly. But like I said, I've got just tons of things that the wrestling supporters out there might want to hear about. So if you want, really quickly, just in a nutshell, you know, I was doing the show for a long time, didn't do a lot of dating, finally dated a country guy in Nashville where I'm at right now, and he's got just a really cool bloodline, family history, thought everything was going well, thinking about the ring, about the big day, wrote a song, hoo-hoo, something I could come down the aisle to. In a nutshell, it didn't happen. It all went south, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to still record this little song, and I'm going to give it away to brides and anybody worldwide for free for a while, for a download, let them enjoy the song since it's not going to be me. He brought me out on stage though, at the Grand Ole Opry and made a big to-do about the woman that he was going to spend the rest of his life with, and oh well, it didn't happen. But the funny thing is that the song is out there, and my publicist said, you know, if you're going to do that, you should have a great video to go along with it. I'm like, who's going to care about us playing some wedding song? And she's like, no, do it with a bunch of little kids, and it's going to be really cool and really cute, and people will like it, and heartwarming. And the video just turned out better than I could have ever hoped or imagined. The people that filmed it were just sickeningly awesome, and the kids that showed up, it was a hot day, and, you know, they just kept on doing their thing, getting a little squirmy, like some of the kids were 3 and 4 years old, and I just kept reminding them, does anybody remember at the end of this day what we're going to do? Cake fight. So there's a great cake fight in the end of it. It's worth watching it just for that. But I got to tell you, there is some really crazy stuff going on that I would have never thought about. There's a remix of the song going around. And some of my friends heard it at a club in New York and in Baton Rouge. And I'm like, apparently, unbeknownst to me, we've got a very large gay and lesbian supporting force out there that come to our shows. And they got a hold of, from a friend of mine, the lead vocals, because I had said, wouldn't it be cool to do a remix someday? Well, they took it upon themselves to have this remix that's out there. And it is just catching fire everywhere. And I have no idea how and why, but it is, I guess they're playing it in honor of the bill that was passed in New York last weekend. There's a lot of people, I mean, love it or hate it, whatever your political stance is, your religious view on life, you know, you can't always control what happens out there. And I've got a lot of friends that are pretty excited about this. And the song is just kind of lighting a fire under people's butt in celebration. So I write music. And I don't judge other people. I mean, I do sometimes, but I try not to. And I don't pass judgment if I can every day. And there's some people that are very, very excited about this song. So that's just a new little tidbit that I'm adding to your interview that I have no idea what's going on out there. But a lot of people are pumped up, and I'm honored that they are.
That's awesome. Yeah, we did post your wedding video on Gerwick.net, and we'll definitely plug it again when this interview is up.
Oh, great.
So people can definitely check that out again. And that's awesome that, there's different versions out there. Everybody's getting a chance to check you out. That's tremendous.
Please do. Yeah, I am something that somebody said a long time ago, and this is pertaining to music real quick, is it was actually Michael Stipe. But I remember in an interview, it was just, they were just pounding it. You know, are you gay? Are you gay? They just kept bugging him about it. And he was just like, I'm a musician. I write music and I sing songs. What does that have to do with anything? He was so gentle and cool about his response that he was like, I am really about music. And that's something that stuck with me in my heart over the years. Like, if somebody's a wrestler or a waiter or whatever, it's like they are what they do and they're people. And you don't need to label them as they're a black or they're a white or they're a gay or they're a straight. They're just doing their job. So I've kind of always adopted that philosophy with with our music, it's like I hope that we can just touch every realm of the world that's out there and make them smile. So
yeah, I guess, you know. I guess along with that, you know, it's TMZ, National Enquirer, you know, inquiring minds want to know. So, you know, we pry into people's personal lives and try to figure out,
you
know, exactly who they are.
You can pry.
Yeah.
So thanks for the
good luck, huh?
And next week, yeah, we can cover that with the music. And like I said, just visit Goldilocks.net, check out freebies, and get a free download if you'd like at Goldilocks.net. Go to the freebies page. There's all kinds of stuff for you. So ask me some questions about wrestling.
Let's ask you some questions about wrestling here. With TNA, obviously you were in TNA. How did you get started with TNA, and how would you describe your tenure there?
I was doing music at the time, and my lawyer was actually starting up a new league with Jeff Jarrett, and she was representing them, helping them get money and capital. Investors, and she said they're looking for somebody to do interviewing that necessarily isn't wrestling background. They kind of want to try something new, maybe somebody with mic skills that are, you know, something other than an interviewing type girl. They seem to have kind of the same interviewing type girl, wink, wink, that always does interviews on not all the sporting shows, just wrestling. So anyways, you know, I wanted to audition, and the person that I was working with at the time kept saying, you know, you need something on a DVD to show them. And so I kind of put together a few things myself, but the person that was representing me didn't think it was good enough. And I remember I was meeting with my lawyer on Sunset Boulevard at Chin Chin's, and she kept saying, well, if you only had a DVD or something I could show them, because there really wasn't a lot of YouTube back then at all. And I kept saying, well, I've got something for you. I remember feeling this kick in my shin from my manager. Shut up. And I was like, and she said, she kept going. I was like, well, I've got something. He kicked me again, and the third time I just got up and I said, here, I'm giving you my DVD. Go give it to him. So they gave it to Jeff Jarrett and Jerry, and there was some calls back and forth, but nothing concrete. So I got on a plane. I called them first, and I said, it's Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend, and I'd like to come visit you. And he's like, well, it's a holiday weekend, and we're not going to be working. And I said, well, I am, and I'm coming down there. So I did, and they were really cool. We had a meeting, and, I mean, they just kept telling me, like, hey, look at this pile over here on our desk of all these girls that want this job. And they kept saying that, you know, there's a lot of girls that want this job. And I just looked at Jeff Jarrett and I said, really? Because I said, how many girls are at your office on a holiday weekend asking for this job? Because I said, I only see one. And they kind of got my drift, and I got the job shortly after that and started. And one of the first shows I had was with Ken Shamrock. I'll never forget that. He was just all about his business and serious, and one of the first people that I met was Jerry Lawler's kid, and it was just absolute chaos. I had no idea what I was doing, what world I was in, didn't understand anything. I was kind of just kind of thrown to the wolves. I had no clue. So it was crazy right off the bat.
You know, when you got there, what was your overall impressions of the company, how it was run, Dixie Carter, Jeff Jarrett, et cetera?
Dixie Carter had nothing to do with it back then, I don't think. If she was, she was silent. It was Jeff and Jerry. Jerry was running a lot of the show, and some investors that they had at the time that were coming in, and it was at the Municipal in Nashville, Tennessee. That was before they moved to the asylum, to the fairgrounds. It was absolute chaos, camera crews running everywhere. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I remember Jeremy Borash was supposed to show me some things, and then Mortimer Plumtree actually was very kind to me and said, you need to do this, you need to do that. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was a musician who's had a lot of on-camera background and experience, but I didn't know that red light came on, and I didn't know I was supposed to have done research. Nobody told me that I should have, if I didn't want to appear as a complete idiot broad, that I should have known who was going to be there that day, which I started to try to, and then really try to research them and know who these people were, what they've done, what they've contributed to the wrestling business, questions that I could ask them, something that I could have in my bag of tricks if they needed to stall and I had something to talk about. I didn't know anything. I was cocky. I didn't think the wrestling business was anything. I thought it was just kind of a joke. You know, it was like, oh, it's just wrestling. It's just something that I saw on TV growing up. I didn't realize at all what went into the wrestling business. I look back in hindsight and I was like, what a complete idiot. So I can see why some people easily would have been irritated with me, or bothered or thought badly of me. I get that now. Certainly do remember the people that did take me under their wing and try to help me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they don't give you any direction, so it would have been nice to, like, you go there and you don't know, you know who some people are because you've seen them, you know, on television before, but you don't know the backgrounds of any of these people, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, go interview this guy. And what do you
yeah.
say? Unless they give you some direction, to, like, okay, this is the yeah. pay-per-view coming up. Ask them about this, and it's like all of a sudden, okay, go talk to whoever it is, ex-wrestler. Go interview him, you know, get a good interview
yeah.
out of him.
Well,
so.
You know what, though? And you're right, but if you really want to take responsibility for yourself, which I do, that's something that I'm learning to do. The older I get, it's like I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm pointing them at myself and saying I should have taken, you know what, I should have pulled my head out of my ass and not been so interested in, like, dating some of the guys and, like, ooh, he's hot, he's cute. I should have pulled my head out of my rear end and have taken the time back then, every catering moment, every down second that we had, and I should have been really learning more about the guys. I should have learned their moves. I should have had them show me how to do them. I'd be better at kicking people's asses today. So, God, if I ever get the chance to go back and reappear or be on the show again, which I hope that I do, it's going to be a different me and a different. And now I look at some of these chicks on the other shows that interview, and my God, they're just so dippy and dumb, and they're there to be slutty eye candy, and that's fine. That has its place. But I'd like to go back and look hot and look strong, like Trinity did. That's one of my greatest friends that I got out of that whole business. She just always was working out in the gym, looking ripped. I'd like to go back as that girl, but really, really have. I wouldn't want to wrestle. I want to go and interview and do it right and be like somebody that's decent to look at for all ages, young and older dudes, and be strong and lift and look good, but ask some questions that are going to dig into the minds and the past history and psychology of these workers. So possibly, I never say never, I would love to go back and do that.
Yeah, you were talking, you know, you were there and you were checking out some of the guys you may want to date. I just wondered in general, how were you treated by the wrestlers, and did they maybe resent that, you know, you didn't have a wrestling background and that all of a sudden, you know, you're on the show with the wrestlers?
Towards the end, that's probably why I got fired, was because I was getting too much camera time. I know that. And I know that pissed off some people. And you know what? That would have pissed me off too. But I would have handled things differently. I would not have created rumors about me to get me thrown off the show. I would have gone to management and either had said, I want to do an angle with her, or I would have said, she's getting too much camera time and I would like more, and here's my angle, or here's my addition. I was trying to come up with stuff, the whole I'm crazy and nuts and all that stuff. All I was trying to do is, I remember hearing that it was getting boring and it was getting stale, and I wanted the company to do well, and of course I want myself to do well. So I was just trying to come up with innovative things like I do in my business, in my photography, in my line of accessories that I have, in everything that I do. If stuff isn't going as well as it should, I don't look to other people and go, well, you should do this for me, or why isn't this? I go, okay, what can I do to make things better? That's all that I was doing with that. But I can see why some people would be pissed about that. I get it. But don't cause a storm on my end and say rumors that I'm going to sue the company if I take a bump and get hurt. And there was all this speculation, and we already know the story about some of the sexual harassment that I endured the very early, you know, hours of TNA and how I handled it, and that was going to management, letting them know what was going on and saying, what do you want me to do about it? And they asked me to keep my mouth shut, because rocking the boat back then, anytime, it's going to screw things up for everybody. It's going to cause attention. They're going to lose monies that they're going for, sponsorships or this or that. So please, would you let us handle it and close your mouth, and we'll help you in any way that we can. Okay, fine. Got a lot of friends that this is a shot for them. I'm not going to screw that up for them. So the last thing that I'm going to do is, if I took a bad bump or got hurt, the last thing I'm going to do is sue the company or do anything. Maybe I'd ask them to pay for some doctor bills for me, help me out. But my track record pretty much showed that I'm not that girl, okay? I'm not that girl. So when I had a couple people start some crap in the promotion and say, you know, I remember James Storm came up to me and he's like, I heard this about you, and is this true? And I'm like, what the? Oh, my God, no. And I knew I was on my way out. I knew it. And I was really bummed, because I just started to figure out this business and I wanted to do a good job at it. And I knew who started the stuff. Won't say who it is. but I've told them to their face and over the phone, and I don't appreciate it because I help them out a lot. I help them get on the show. I helped them in many ways be who they were in that promotion by small things, by buying them a meal here and there, letting them crash on my couch or my hotel or whatever. You know, it's like that'll all come back to them. It's karma. I don't hold any negative or hard feelings towards anybody in that business at all. And even one guy that was starting some crap with me, I ran into him at the gym in Nashville, and I'll tell you who it was. It was Kid Cash. We had some serious heat going on for years because I just busted his balls on some things and told it like it was, and he went around saying some stuff about me and some really hurtful things, and I had a lot of heat with him for a lot of years. And that dude walked up to me one day at the gym, and I was on the Stairmaster with my fat ass. He said, he put his hand out, and he said, "I got to say I'm sorry for all the things I said about you. I was in a bad place. I had no business saying it, and I'm sorry." And I was like, whoa.
Wow.
That's really big of a dude to just come on up to you and say, "I screwed up, I was wrong, and I'm sorry." And I was like, man, anytime I see him, you know, I have to commend somebody for saying that. That's a very big thing of a human being to do. So I got nothing bad about anybody. I just don't. I don't have the energy for it. I learned a lot from that.
Not even Alex Shelley?
Oh, dude, I love saying things and calling him Alex Shelby, and I love screwing with that guy. But, I mean, at the end of the day, what good is having hard feelings for somebody? If he had such a problem with me and thought I was such a piece of crap during the show, have some balls and come up and tell me about it. Or say, "You suck, chick. Like, I don't like what you're doing," or let's do something different. Or, "Can I just not be managed by you anymore or have anything to do with you? Because I don't like you." I'd have so much more respect for you. I'd be like, "Oh my God, what can I do better? Or what am I doing wrong?" Or, and that's going to bookmark this spot. I'm going to go back to that in a second. Like, what? Tell me what I can improve on. I would have loved to have known that. I didn't know. I thought he was a nice guy and enjoyed seeing him in the dressing room, the trailer that we would all get ready in. And I had nothing but good vibes for the guy. And then I, like, just hear all this that he talks about me. I don't have the time in my day with everything that I deal with and that I'm trying to accomplish in life to give Alex Shelley one thought other than just a laugh that I had some good times, you know, with the angle that we had. So I'd say hi to him if I saw him, and you know, I wouldn't, you know, maybe I could come back and kick his butt or something like that. Right. But you know, no, I don't, at the end of the day, I'm not hating on Alex Shelley that bad. I remember a production meeting that I was in, and I didn't take this seriously. I was like, we have production meetings before the show, and I didn't realize what an honor and privilege it was to be there. And I remember one time I was just so cocky and rude and making fun of things. And I remember Mike Tenay went up to Jarrett and just read the riot act on me. And Jerry came up to me very kindly and said, "You know, this is how it is. And it's a privilege to be here at this meeting and know what's going on and have the inside scoop." And he said, "You really are offending people, especially Mike Tenay." And I was like, oh my God, I just felt like, I see now, like, what a jerk I was. Like, wow. I'm surprised Mike Tenay just didn't jump over the table and take me out. And then I remember back to, like, how prepared he was, how on top of his he was, how researched he was. I mean, he is a gifted, talented dude. He was so cool about it. He had so much class and so much poise and, you know, went to Jerry and had a problem with me. Jerry addressed it. And, oh, my God, I took note to that. So that's how I wish, and that's a seasoned professional addressing things. I wish more guys would have handled things like that, because I will never forget the day that Jerry Jarrett came to me and told me that I felt awful, and I completely changed my attitude towards things because somebody put me in my place in a kind way. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you, whose idea was it to team you with Alex Shelley? And I guess whose idea was it to kind of get you away from the backstage interviewer and get you more involved in the product?
That's probably the company as a whole. Jeff Jarrett and Vince Russo did tell me, anytime that you're in the wrestling business, no matter what you do, if you're pushing a broom in the back alley, you know, you're going to end up in the ring, and people want to see you in the ring. And I've been developing this bitchy, crazy, psycho, mean, evil type person, and they wanted me to end up in the ring. And, you know, I can take a few bumps, but I'm not trained to do that stuff. So I guess just the company as a whole, people writing in, wanting to see me get hurt, not liking me, liking me, whatever. It just sort of evolves, kind of like Jurassic Park when Jeff Goldblum says, well, I don't understand why there's all these, somebody says it, why there's all these, you know, dinosaurs appearing on the island when there were only females. And then somebody says, just over time, what's meant to be happens anyway, meaning like somehow something happens where there's procreation among chick dinosaurs. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? Like life just sort of lends itself to what will be. It just happens whether you want it to or not. So whether you want it to or not, I ended up in the ring, and that's how it evolved. It's my analogy.
What's your overall opinion of Vince Russo? Do you think some of the criticism he gets today is fair?
Do you really think that one person is going to be responsible for a promotion making it or breaking it? Are you high? Seriously. Make Vince Russo the Jesus Christ of that time and put him on a cross and put some nails in his hand and throw some stones at him. Come on. Like, one guy, you're giving him people give him way too much credit and put way too much on him. He's one dude that's trying different things from different angles from here to there. Vince Russo is one of the coolest guys to me personally in that business. He always showed up to talk about with ideas, with something. Love or hate Vince Russo, you got to give him credit for trying, for not being out wasted and drunk and doing whatever and dicking around. He always showed up with a notebook of stuff to do, with ideas, with research. So, yeah, I didn't like a lot of the ideas that Vince had. I right to his face went off on him one day because he wanted me early on to get in the ring, and I'm interviewing. Oops, my shirt gets ripped, and oops, my bra falls off, and my boobs are out there. And I'm like, dude, are you crazy? I'm not doing that. He said, okay. So he got somebody else to do it. But my point
lollipop,
like,
right? Was that the lollipop?
Oh, she did. Oh,
yes.
Can I tell you?
Go right ahead.
My heart was beating backstage. She knows, so this is no news to her. I wanted to knock her out. I thought, you just got your tits done. They don't even look that good because they're still swollen, and that's all that you can bring to the table is that your shirt can fall off. That was bad enough, but she came backstage with her shirt off. So I politely went over with somebody's robe and said, would you please wrap this around you? Because you're making a freaking fool of yourself backstage. Seriously. You have totally devalued anything that you have by walking around. Like, she went over to Jerry Jarrett with her tits hanging out. I'm like, oh, my God. As a chick who's actually trying to do something in business or in entertainment, that stuff has its time and its place, but that was not it. And then you've got Trinity walking around in a freaking... That chick could wear a Band-Aid over her crotch and dental floss wrapped around her tits and have class. She just could. It didn't matter what she wore, like caution tape around her boobs. But because she trained and she had the goods to back it, she could do anything in my eyes and still have class up the butt. She just was amazing. Like, because she owned it. She has the history. She went and trained. She looks it. She's ripped. She's strong. She's strength. She has something to bring to the table other than, look at my boob job. That day, I will never forget that lollipop day because I was just so pissed, and I thought, oh, great. Is this what's going to be? She was doing what she was told. I get it. But maybe she should have pulled the card that I did and just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll look sexy. I'll look hot. I'll do this. Remember the swimsuit calendar, that whole thing? That was me and Trinity's idea. We went and did our own calendar. It's even online. Look up under YouTube. Trinity and Goldilocks, Bums at the Beach. It's us doing our own version of taking our own pictures. We had Bums on the Beach take photos of us, and it made it into a calendar. Later on, they aired some of that footage, just my camcorder footage. Just have some balls to back up what you do. That made me very, very angry. But back to Vince Russo, yes, I can see why people that are hardcore wrestling fans would hate everything that he's doing. I can see that. I see your point of view. I can see where some of his stuff is foolish and goofy and crazy, and if I want to go watch wrestling, that this has no business on my TV set. Yes, I get that. But does it have any more business than half the crap that's on WWE? I don't want to see another Divas thing. Some of that stuff is so dumb. That has nothing to do with wrestling. But because it's TNA, tits and ass, not total nonstop action, then it's okay. So if you're going to hate Vince Russo for what he does, then hate what's going on WWE, too. If you're going to be a hardcore wrestling fan of wrestling, then do it across the board. Don't pick and choose on one thing and then another and then jump the fence on another and then just, like I said, crucify Vince Russo, because at the end of the day, he's just trying to keep a promotion alive so that you can watch some of your wrestling stuff, because I got news for you. It's called sports entertainment, and half the people, or maybe less, are hardcore wrestling fans. Maybe 10-20% just want to turn on and see some chicks and see some excitement of coming down the ring, and there's probably another 15-20% of people that like something else on it. To make a successful promotion and television show, you've got to do all kinds of things. And sometimes to have a successful television show, you have to have controversy. You have to do stuff that people are going to talk about at the water cooler at work on Monday morning. You have to do all that stuff. So for them to be around this many years later, obviously people are doing something right. And that's my, I'll get off my soapbox on that, because I don't know a lot about the business as much as some people do, but I know what I know from looking from a side and watching through the window. And Vince has tried to do a good job, and I think that he has. But I can see where people on the other side, if you're hardcore fans, I can see where you'd be pissed and irritated and annoyed and not like what he does. I get that. But know that he's just trying to do it for the greater good to keep the whole thing going.
Let me ask you about
that.
There you go. That was a soapbox, I would say.
What?
I want to ask you about some of the other people you've worked with, and maybe just, you know, a thought or two. I'll throw out three names, and you just kind of give me, you know, your overall impression working with them. Eric Watts, Abyss, and Desire.
Desire. It's Kim, right?
Right. Yep, Kim Nielsen. Yep.
Oh, God, I was like, I haven't called her that forever. Eric Watts. And then I've got a couple other names that we'll bring up that have passed that
okay.
you might want to hear about.
Sure.
Eric Watts, it's just amazing. Always kind to me, always helpful. Take me back here. Now, you know, this is how it goes, and this is what you should do, and don't worry about this, and this is what this is all about. Totally what Alex Shelley should have done, but he didn't have the same whatever as Eric Watts did. Told me all, hey, Goldie, don't do that. I remember somebody chewed me out, and they're like, what the F was that? What are you doing? And I'm like, huh, I don't know. What was I doing? You don't do things like that. I can't remember who it was that just ripped my ass coming down at Orlando. You do things really big, and you should have had bigger motions. People from way back in the stadium should see you, and you were all in quiet and just you were that wasn't right. You were small with your actions. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Thanks for yelling at me, and thanks for telling me. Another time, I said backstage, it's on one of the old things, you know, James Storm and Chris Harris, somebody broke their arm, and oh, my God, I got my ass handed to me. They're like, you can't say that somebody broke their arm. And I'm like, well, why not? They did. They're like, no, you have to say it appears as though somebody broke their arm so that we know which direction we have options to take them in. And I'm like, oh, my God, I never would have thought of that. But somebody screamed at me loud enough to let me know. Eric was always real cool about it. He was always really thinking and very, very business, wrestling business orientated. He was all about it. He wasn't into all the other stuff. He was just, and I was always afraid because so many people thought because of our angle that we were dating, which my God, never in my wildest years. And then I was worried about his wife thinking that. I know that his kids thought that and people in public thought that. And it was just like, that got to be kind of a rat's nest because for the love of God, I would never want his wife to be thinking any of that. And who is the next person that you said? Abyss. Man,
uh-huh.
I got so many mixed feelings on that guy. I knew him from when he started to come in, and I was telling Jeff Jarrett walking down the street that my friend's got this friend, and you should really have him come in, and he's going to be really good. And somebody said, well, he's just a knockoff of Kane. And I'm like, well, give him a chance. He's really, so I was always, like, rooting for him. And we did all of our angles in the show, and I really enjoyed working with him. And then, you know, personally, a few things got weird towards the end, and we don't need to really go into that, but now I wasn't dating him or anything like that. It was just some other stuff, just rumors that I had heard and whatnot, and then I wasn't too happy with it. I figured they were coming from him, and then I talked to him from time to time now and just kind of check in on him and see how things are, but I really, really wish I could come back on the show and do an angle with him. If there is anybody that I'd like, and just something absolutely diabolical and sick, Like, I know what it is to be a heel now. I would love to come back and just do some real deep, like, going way back to, like, why he is the way that he is and why he didn't speak and just all this just crazy stuff. I'd love to go dig into that and, like, maybe make it into some cool angles. So I'm on good terms with him, but definitely towards the end, I think there was some things that were said that, you know, probably got me in a lot of trouble. So that's my story on Abyss. I think he's really talented, and he took his stuff so seriously, and I admire that about somebody. And Desire, she was, besides Trinity, she was one of the only other women that I could stomach on that show. And I just personally thought she was badass and really cool. I didn't know enough of her wrestling and her work. I wasn't really paying attention to that, so I can't really comment on her role in the wrestling business as a worker. So I really can't say anything yay or nay on that. But she was a really cool chick to be around. She always made me feel good. I never felt threatened by her. She wasn't that token wrestling girl that I see at a lot of indie shows or that I've bumped into before. I never felt like she was a bitch. I never felt like Trinity was a bitch. And that's about all I can say because I don't like to talk a lot of crap about people, but I do like to say good things, and that's what I'll say about her. So.
And you were mentioning, of course, Trinity before. What happened to Trinity? Where is she today?
She does movies. She's always been a stunt woman, and she's always doing that sort of thing, doubling for people. She's got a couple other show pilots in the works that I know and I've seen where I'm like, whoa, this is really good stuff. Not like, oh, my God, what a crappy show, but wow, this is great. I even tried to get it to some TV people that I know because I think she's doing great stuff. She's out doing a lot of special effects stuff, doing the stunts. I see her every time I'm in New Jersey and go hang out with some other real awesome music people that I know in that area, talk to her all the time. She's just salt of the earth. If there ever was a female wrestler out there that really should have gotten more of a chance, it's her because she walks the walk. You know, she's got the look. She's got the body. She can talk on the mic. She got better and better and better. And she really loves getting her ass kicked, whether it's in the gym or in the ring. Or she likes the bruises. She likes the pain. She likes enduring it. She likes feeling that feeling. She is the real deal. She's one of the only ones that I'd say Awesome Kong. I've never really hung with her, but she strikes me as that cut from the same cloth. Like, this is real. I'm not out here just to show my tits and get my 5 minutes in the sun. I'm out here to kick some ass and go into the ring and do something. And yeah. I'm not a wrestler, but as a wrestling fan of wrestling, like, not the entertainment part, the wrestling, I'm like, wow, you're awesome. There's been a couple people like that where I've just been like, wow, I wish I could do that. That's badass.
Yeah, I totally agree with Trinity. I thought she was very talented. I really thought she'd go far in the business. It's really too bad that, you know, I'm glad she's got, you know, a career outside of wrestling, but I thought based on what she could do, as you said, a talker, worker, the look, yeah, I thought she had all the whole package for a female worker, and it's...
Dude, you should have seen her backstage. Not once did you ever see her sitting in somebody's lap or sleazing around or looking like you're getting your next paycheck from sucking something. And I got to tell you, when I see chicks like that, and, like, I can't deal with it. It just makes me want to vomit. I'm like, really? 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 That's all you got? That's the only card that you can play? I can go out and get my tits done 50 sizes bigger than they are, too. We all can. But I'm going to pay to get my cat her ear cleaned out and taken care of instead. And then you've got somebody like Trinity who comes in there. She's just, like, amazing. Like, I look at her biceps and her triceps and her abs and, like, the stuff that she could do in the ring, and I'm like, God dang it, man, that's awesome. She trained every day, always at the gym every day. There were some of the guys in the promotion that were at the gym every day. They weren't out late at night. They'd come say their hellos, hit the bar, have a couple drinks, go to bed, get up. I'd see them at the hotel lobby gym or nearby at one of them, take a shuttle. You know, that's for some people. That was the Christopher Daniels and the Elix Skippers. And Chris Daniels got, like, legs of steel, and I used to always ask him, like, dude, how do you get your legs like that? He's like, 500 Hindi squats every day, and I'd see him do it, whether it's in the hotel lobby or in the parking lot or whatever. And I have respect for people that are like that, that aren't hungover and don't know where they are, but that are taking it seriously and schooling people and stuff. One of the people that I was going to tell you, though, that I got to be really good friends with that I never really talked about was Kurt Hennig. and just what an absolutely delightful dude. He's from the same hometown that I am. We did the same pageants and the same things, different time span. But I'm really close to Robbinsdale, Minnesota. That's where he's from, and I got to be really good friends with him, of course, talking about things. And what a hellion, what a prankster. So many times, I remember one time, it was Vince's idea to have me change clothes all the time, which is fine. I didn't mind that. That's fine. And I would be running backstage to change, and I went to get my duffel bag, and it was all chained up and duct taped and chained to folding chairs and just tons of chains and locks on all my stuff. I couldn't move it. I couldn't get into it. I never knew who that was, but I'm sure in retrospect that was Kurt. He used to just play jokes on everybody and never anything mean to me. I know a lot of the girls, like in WWE, like poop and things and do really mean things to the girls. Nobody ever did anything mean to me. It was always in fun and very respectful, and they treated me with a lot of class, probably more than I ever deserved. So I really miss him and how excited he was about being a part of TNA in the office and the administrative side of things. He really wanted to make a great change and do some things, and he was so proud of so many things that he had come up with, and I was just so sorry to see what a loss, because, oh, my God, being out with him, the stuff that he would pull late night at bars and clubs, and he was hell on wheels. It was really fun, just hilarious. Always in a fight, always somebody face down outside and somebody getting thrown up, but we used to dance at Tootsie's, and he would grab my hand on the waist on one side, and then the other, he'd have my hand raised up. He'd go, okay, we're going to do this. Okay, here we go. We're going to dance. All right, watch this. He'd keep telling me to watch this. He'd take my hand, he goes, relax. Let me have full control of your hand. I'm like, okay, Kurt. And we'd dance, he'd go, 1, 2, 3. And he'd take my hand, and he'd punch somebody backwards. Like, he'd dance by some asshole at the bar. He'd find him, and he'd go, okay, we're going to dance. Hey, care if we dance by you? And the guy would be like, oh, no. And then we'd have our hands together, and he would back punch him every time, like almost knock some jerk out. And it was hilarious because in one dance, we could knock out like 3 people. It was really fun. He was just awesome. Like, I'll never forget our little dancing sessions where we basically clean up the bar at 3 o'clock in the morning. All the assholes would be down on the ground because we would have punched them all and hard. I loved them.
What's kind of the highlight of being in TNA?
Well, funny enough, Kurt Hennig's, not funny, but a beautiful thing that came out of Kurt Hennig's funeral, actually, that I went to in Minnesota, was I had some friends in the business in TNA that were big Bret Hart fans, and there was Bret at the funeral, and got to meet him there, and, you know, got to really get to know him and be friends with him and talk to him on the phone and learn about all of his life and everything he's contributed to the business. It's like, I mean, the highlight of being in TNA was getting what so many people out there in the world, and I wasn't trying to focus on negative stuff. I think I said positive stuff, too,
sure,
or put people over. Yeah.
Right.
I think I'm being begging on everybody. I would hate that. Just all of the wonderful people that I got to meet, like so many people out there, like listening or reading this interview, I know they would give their right arm to be a part of that or to be a fly on the wall for even a day, and it's like, now that I've had some time to sit and marinate, I mean, it's one of the greatest experiences that I've had in my life. I mean, I really got all positive stuff out of it. Yeah, I've got some negative things to say, but positive is all that came out of it. Just meeting all of these people and learning what, you know, you bitch about, oh, my back hurts or my eye or I stubbed my toe. And, like, these guys are and girls are working every day with broken backs and necks. And, I mean, you really learn how people endure physical pain and don't complain about it and just do their job and hope and want and have desire. And it was nothing but positive. The highlight of everything was just getting to work with all these people that now I know what they really are about and what they've done and what they've contributed. And I'm like I said, dude, I wish I could go back. Wish I could go back.
How did your departure come about? What did they tell you at the end when they were letting you go? And what was kind of your reaction? Were you surprised you were let go? I think based on what you said before, you probably wasn't surprised. But I guess how did the end come about with TNA?
I didn't know I was let go. I just didn't get called again. You just keep waiting every week to see if you get called and you don't. I knew the day that Jeff Jarrett came up to me and said something, though. David, what the hell is his last name? The guy that does all the filming. Oh, I can't. Azar. The hottie. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been a while. I remember it was time to do some of the blue screen stuff, and the camera guy said, oh, well, what about gold? He grabbed her, and he kind of did the, you know, throat thing where it's like that, you know, where you cut your throat, wave your hand by your throat, like, no, not going to have it. And I thought, yeah, you're done. So I knew that day when they didn't want me to do any interviews or any blue screen, green screen stuff that I was done, and I was really, really sad about it. I'm so cool with everything now that I do wish I could go back and do a really cool angle with somebody and just be completely evil. Or whatever they wanted me to do. You know, I like playing stuff that has more of a character to it because that's something that I can bring to the table. Maybe not so much camera time this time, but I'd love to do something really cool and really memorable and noteworthy that makes sense and really puts that wrestler over and makes them look good. And even if it's making him look good as a heel, I want to make him look good.
Did you continue to watch TNA after you left, and do you still watch it today?
Absolutely not. I did not watch it. I ended up moving here, and I ended up having horrible stuff happen to me. I lost my job on TNA. I lost my record deal. I lost my publishing deal. I had the IRS come after me, and I had 3 years of the most absolute hell that any human being could go through. Went through bankruptcy. So the last thing that I had was a TV or even cable. Got through all that with shining colors. Built a business up with help from family and friends. Had our music career start taking off. I bought lights. I started cleaning houses during that time and in the Nashville area. And I remember one time I was scrubbing floors in this lady's home in Brentwood, and her kids started watching TNA, and it was a rerun that they had of me. And I was like, oh, my God, please do not let them know that that's me, because I just called myself Kate the Cleaner. Nobody knew I was Goldie. I came in, I cleaned houses. I had to work for cash. It was absolutely horrendous, not the cleaning part, but just falling that hard with everything. It was a very dark, dark time. When I did get TV, I realized that I didn't need to watch it because I was wasting time at night that I could be promoting our band or trying to build my business. So I don't even to this day have a TV set or cable or watch it. I see it sometimes in hotel rooms and I'm fascinated by it. But no, I haven't watched it or any TV in a long time. I'm just always really, really busy and traveling. I watch YouTube and pay attention online, but ironically enough, I still don't have a TV. That's the truth.
Let's talk about your music. Maybe somebody's never seen you or heard you sing. How would you describe your music? And I got to give you credit up front. I always respect musicians that write their own music. I think that shows not only can you sing and perform, but you can also write you have that much talent that you can write your own music. So describe your music, and obviously we said before that you can check out Goldie's music and her videos on YouTube, but to the average person maybe not familiar with your singing, how would you describe your music?
It's modern rock. It's a lot of melody. Some stuff's more on the pop rock side. A lot of it's heavier rock. We've been compared to, Evanescence, which is not really like that. But it's hard to explain it. I just say, go to goldielocks.net or go to iTunes and just check out a couple tracks, buy a couple tracks. I definitely have a heavier voice. A lot of guts go into our show. It's not some chick running around. If you listen to this interview, that's just eye candy. I mean, it's hardcore. We've got a lot of metal people that come to our shows. We've got a lot of other people that come to our shows. We try to do a really good gamut, a good variety. At the end of the day, we've opened for Nickelback and Puddle of Mud and Saliva and Seven Dust and Maroon 5, One Republic. I mean, it fits in with all that kind of stuff, or we wouldn't be opening for those guys. But, I'd like to keep going with the modern rock thing. Just, it's hard to explain. Just check out one song. It's definitely nothing pansy-like or light at all. It's got some good stuff to it. So it's not like anything that's really out there right now. I think Pink, if you saw Pink live, she's got a raspier voice and really rock and doing her thing. It might be a little bit along those lines, but our guitars can get pretty heavy and drop C and low, and got a great band right now, and just check it out. Check out Goldilocks.net, check out iTunes, and on .net, like I said, there's a free song, which is a little bit more of a a country modern vibe, but it's just a one-off song that we're doing right now and promoting it. So thanks for asking about the music. And, yeah, I do write all of our stuff and different people I co-write with. And I appreciate when other artists write their stuff, but I understand when some people don't. Maybe that's just not their thing, and I don't bang on them too hard because there's lots of songwriters out there. But I actually do like to write about things that have happened to me, and maybe I can help somebody else out that has had a similar experience or just needs kind of words and then a little anthem for them to listen to on their way to work to feel better. So I try to write a lot of stuff like that.
What do you have coming up touring-wise? Are you currently on tour, and where might people check you out?
We're a lot in the South. We're getting ready to go up to Europe for a while. We're going to be in Afghanistan. We're doing a tour with Outback Steakhouse, which is going to be great. Can't wait. It's a lot
awesome.
Of good food and great, great people. We're actually doing a lot of shows with Hard Rock. We'll be at Hard Rock Biloxi this weekend. Got some shows coming up with Ted Nugent. You know, I did the Ted Nugent show. It's actually
awesome.
A new TV show. Yeah, thanks. A new TV show called
definitely.
Me up, and they are interested in having me do that show. It's kind of in the infantile stages, so I'll definitely be calling you for another interview if I'd be so lucky to let people know about that, because it's something that wrestling supporters would definitely be right up their alley. Kind of hardcore stuff. So that's what's going on with me. I appreciate you saying anything about the music. And if anything, don't think that I've got bad vibes about TNA at all. I just like to try to give you some stuff that's juicy or fun to listen to, because somebody just getting on your show talking about everything being sunshine and lollipops probably wouldn't be too interesting. So I was trying to think of good stuff. But check out that video. It's called It's a Sure Great Day for a Wedding. We really, really want to get hits. We want to get YouTube exposure, and hopefully it would, you know, help us out with some sponsorships and things like that. So if you've got nothing better to do at work, on your phone, sitting on the toilet, just check out our YouTube video. I do it all the time.
Very
truth.
Cool.
It's the truth.
Yeah, we'll link that video up when we post this interview, so we'll give a chance to check your music out that way. So we do appreciate your time today, Goldie, and we wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you for everything, and we're getting ready to roll out right now, so just best of
awesome.
Luck to everybody that's still on the show, and thanks for the interview.